Beloved Master, a thousand tears of gratitude for allowing us to be with you, for sharing yourself with us, for allowing us to film and record you, for the video and audio satsangs, for the possibility to stay connected with you when we go back to the society. It is a tremendous support. Thank you. I want to ask about the part of meditation or witnessing and the part of devotion. I feel that to disappear into love and devotion, to lose myself into dancing, singing, and listening to music is happening much more naturally for me. There is no effort. Actually, with the first tone of a raga, I'm already gone. While vipassana, not so easy. This watching feels stiff and dry, forced. Anything that is forced is unnatural. Everything should come natural. I experience that I'm falling into my heart very easy. Just being in life, in nature, tickling my son and hearing his laughter, just eating good chocolate. Maybe I'm misunderstanding this witnessing, but to distance myself from these feelings and waves of love and joy does not feel right. Life is just too good. I want to celebrate it. But also when the melting is happening, I fall silent, silently drinking in the beauty, the divine. I don't usually start dancing ecstatic on the streets like a mirror. Is it still the path of devotion I'm on? And how to follow the path of devotion totally in the modern society? If you get too happy or start crying or spacing out, then you attract attention, especially when you are a mother, then people can get concerned. I find that scary. Yes. That's the thing, Malika, in society they have rules now. And if you don't follow those rules, then you will attract attention. No? So my suggestion is that play the rules as beautiful as possible. You should be finished to be a rebellious teenager, no? They always want to do something different. No, as a meditator, as a sannyasin, as a mother, then you have to learn how to be, create as little ripples as possible. That's the art of living. That's the art of living in the society. Already they are upset. Already they are tense. Already they are worried. Everybody. So anything you do will trigger more of that. Here you can let go whatever way you want. But in the society, you have to. Otherwise, you can sometimes experiment with it if you do it consciously, no? If you want to attract attention. But that is another story. I already sense some irritation for me often being late to kindergarten. But they don't understand. There are just so many interesting distractions on the way for a two-year-old and his intoxicated mother. Always in gratitude. I love you, Malik. Yes. I totally understand. But the other side is that the kindergarten is there to help you. They have the rules, they have the timings, they have the expectations in society. If you fit in, then they will love you. So this is the thing. Whatever you get involved with, you should play it as beautifully as possible. Then you don't create anything. Already then, as it is, they're getting upset. So, when you go to kindergarten, when you go to a meeting, when you go to school, when you go to whatever you, when you go and reach the plane on the bus, it's good to be in time, no? Some people also, they don't get in time on the plane. Hoo-hoo, it's so nice. Huh? So that's why I remind you that be free, be spontaneous, but you have to also have awareness. Hmm? Some of my sannyasins, and they have written, they came to the airport a day after they were supposed to go. But that's how you learn. You have to, the society, the world, it has to have timings, rules. So if you accept that, then there's no problem. You play it beautifully. You always, bam, in time. Then you say, wow, this is a woman you can rely on. Wow, she's responsible. Then it's a totally different energy. Then when you are not have anything to do with it, then you can sit and eat flowers for hours. With your 2-year-old. And you put flowers in the ears and in the nostrils and da go ga ga ga. But then nobody is there. And who cares if anybody see you? That doesn't matter, no? But when you have responsibility, when you're dealing with others, you should be responsible. My suggestion, okay? So, that's why it is always best to totally take care of oneself, no? But it's very difficult in the society. You say, I want to ask about the part of meditation or witnessing vs. the part of devotion. In humanity is basically two types, like yin and yang, man and woman, positive and negative, male and female. So this is where these basic two parts come from. No? The woman is more connected to the heart, to the feelings, to the taking care. So this is where this part of devotion, of love, of surrender, it is kind of feminine. Positive. Then you have the masculine. That is of will, no? That is more from the head, which is yoga, effort, doing, willpower, proving yourself. So everybody should really see, what is it? What type are you? Gurdjieff talked a lot about that. You have to find your type, no? What is real for you? Osho always said also, you have to choose. Which is very, very difficult because you don't know. The deeper you go, the more you will feel it. But generally, that is natural for a woman, no? That doesn't mean that that is only in a woman's body, or the other way around. Some women is more like men, some men is more like women, no? So this is generally these two parts. But none is easy, because in surrender, if you really surrender, if you devote yourself, that means you already is finished with the ego. Very difficult. Very difficult. You surrender. Surrendering means you are losing your ego. Finished. You are surrendered. Hollow bamboo. That can only happen in deep love, deep understanding, deep trust. No. There's nothing you can do. But you feel this is the natural. It's natural for you, this devotion, this love. So, the other part of will, one wants to do it oneself. But the problem is there, that most people are not that focused, not that intelligent to do it by themselves. So they become, it just becomes another ego thing. And again, you stumble. You want to, but there's a lot of effort. Then you lose the direction. You lose the trust. So both of the paths have its own challenges. But what is same with both is that you have to lose your ego. So in surrender, in devotion, that can be done from the beginning. And even if this ghost of the mind comes back, the feminine heart can connect with the love, with that feeling, that trust. Because something has been touched. Otherwise, it's not even a possibility for any devotion, any trust. Something has to be touched in your heart, in your soul. Then that will be your guideline. That you don't get in your own way. Then for the yogi or for the willpower, is very, very difficult because he has to investigate himself. The first, in surrender, you just surrender, you are gone. That's why this women is much better disciples in a way, because it's natural that they surrender, they let go. They understand that. The mind, or the mind of the male, is much more want to be in control. Maybe he doesn't even want to become a disciple because he's a little bit down. What is this master discipleship all about? He's not interested in being a disciple, he's interested in being a master. That is the male ego, no? The woman, she loves to be a disciple, to surrender, to be a devotee. It's totally natural because you lose yourself in love. The master is love, no? Something gets touched. But again and again, you have to lose yourself to be in that devotion, to get out of your own way. So both is difficult. The yogi also, sooner or later, if he investigates himself, coming closer and closer to his center, meditating, which you call dry and forced. Huh? It is forced. The yogi is forcing himself. Paw. 16 years in the cave. Then he comes to that he doesn't find himself. Coming to his own center. Coming to your own center, you realize that you have no self. You don't find it. So then you have to surrender anyway. They both lead to letting go, to surrender. Both parts, it doesn't matter what part one talks about, is only finished when you lose your ego. And then you have many parts, and these parts many times, I'm a part of devotion, of love, of bhakti, or I'm the yoga, Advaita, Tantra. So there's a competition, almost like the Christians and the Muslims. They have this idea. For me, or for anyone who is awakened, there is no path. Because all paths take you somewhere. What is a path for? It is to take you somewhere. And for the master is nowhere to go. Everything is here. What path? Where do you want to go? Isn't everything far out here? This is it. So this is the dilemma with the paths. it functions, and it you have to be on the path because you have gone away from yourself. So the path is bringing you closer to yourself. It's bringing you back, whatever path. But when you come to the end of the path, there is no path. Or like many different paths going up a mountain. I came that path. Some path, very difficult. But somebody, they had to do this. They had to climb through the thorn bushes. Oh, look how great yogi I am. I'm all bloody. Then fall down the cliff, break the arm. I'm going to make it. No, it's a much easier path here. Come here, my friend. It's a much easier. It's nice. No. I'm going to make it. And then some others, they are very nice. Oh, this is the path, nice path. Somebody been walking here before. I think, wow, I met somebody. Say, hey, this is the right way. Don't go there in the bushes. But the thing with the ego, it always wants to do its own thing now, up to a certain point. And only then can you start listening. You have to have hardship. You have to fall again and again. You have to bruise yourself. You have to hurt yourself. You have to hurt others. You have to make a mess. What to do? This is how it is. Then, of course, it's all different kind of people. So for some people, they don't need that. And some people do it again and again and again and again. And it's like you're surprised how they can function because every bone in the body should be broken by now. So, for me, I love the path of love and I love the Buddha's path. I love everything because I'm totally familiar on all. It doesn't matter. But for me, there is six exist no path as such. Because there's nowhere to go. When you lose your ego, which is losing your identity, that you are separate, then why need a path? It doesn't make sense. You are home. Home means you've been longing to come home. Now you are home. So that's the position I am when I talk about parts. Yes, parts is needed. But one part is not better than any other part because it depends on you. What type you are, what is feels natural for you. So, you say that it's much easier for you to disappear in love and devotion, to lose yourself in dancing, singing and listening to music is happening much more natural for me. There's no effort. Actually, with the first tone of a raga, I'm already gone. While vipassana, not so easy. This watching feels stiff and dry, forced. Yes, because you are on the feminine. It's natural for you. But I can tell you there is nothing dry or serious with Buddha. He's Mr. Juice. It's just different approaches. I totally understand. And it's a very feminine way to see it and feel it. And I'm laughing because I remember Vivek, who was with Osho, one time he had talking of Buddhas for weeks. And then she said, if I hear this one more time, I think I scream. These Buddha sutras. So when I read what you said, I was thinking, you are in good company. This is how it is. But it also means that still you are thinking about parts. So it, this path is needed. So stick to that. But I want to offer you everything because life is multidimensional. So I don't have a path. I have many. I use many paths till you come to no path, which is just being natural, being yourself. But you cannot be yourself before you know yourself. When you know yourself, no more path. Yes, there's been many paths, and some masters even stick to that because maybe of their limitation. Many masters and gurus, they don't have any other way. Like a Ramana Maharshi, he never got involved with the disciples and guided them like that. He had it very simple. And just sitting, you came there frustrated, you can just look at him, and he just sit there. Take no notice, whatever you went through. Very aloof. It's much more problem when you start dealing with the disciples. But it's much more effective, it happens much more. Because they come down to where you are. But that means that you have to deal also with all the projections, all the hurts, all the darkness, all the emotions, all that, which a Ramada doesn't take care, doesn't matter. A Buddha doesn't care. A Gurdjieff, right, he worked very hard on his disciples, maybe too hard, because I don't think he got that good results. A Krishnamurti, he would totally didn't, nothing much was happening. He talked for more than 40 years. And he was really a beautiful guy. What he's saying is really beautiful. But I don't think he helped many people because he was so aloof. And he had no technique. In fact, he said, drop all technique. Drop all master. And still he had a great following. What is the point? And nobody really got transformed. I don't know anybody of Gurdjieff's people who got enlightened. With Osho, I must know 20. Just intimate friends. It's a totally different approach. But then you also have to go through the shit or the confusion of the disciple. No, that is more tough also. It's much easier to be aloof. But then there's a too big a gap between the seeker, the disciple, and the master. And that's how often it is. Then they can sit and listen, or doing some mantras, or doing some chanting, but there is no transformation happening. It's just like a sweet lullaby. So, that friction is out of compassion, that friction that the master puts you through. Because otherwise you wouldn't have seen. Like you see again and again here. You realize things, you see things. If it had just been the same all the time, and I didn't put you through the processes and dealing with you, not much would happen. But Buddha is not serious. And that's another thing. The dancing, the singing, the ecstasy, that belongs to your body. You have to have the body to sing, to dance. Buddha goes way beyond. So it's almost too much. He goes too far. I want to show you all. I'm all for the body. I'm definitely all for dancing, as you know. Laughing also sometimes I do. But But this teaching of the Buddhas, and no, I don't only mean him, but any Buddhas, be that Rumi also, the essence is to go beyond everything, no? Into your original essence, into your core. So you have the physical body, you have the mental body, you have the emotional body, no? So this is where most people operate, like this. Then you have what the fourth body. In India they call it Turiya, no? It just means the fourth. Or your soul. That is beyond all that. When you are beyond, there is just poof, pure emptiness. But that emptiness is full of consciousness, of love, of understanding, of peace, of light, whatever you want to call it, but it is beyond. So it's not this or that, it's not anti the body, but it's just beyond the body. And that's what I wanted to show you here also. We're not against the body or singing or dancing or making music, we're all for it. But remember, you have something that is beyond. And sooner or later, that's where you're going to end up. The body you won't take with you. Your singing you won't take with you. The dancing you won't take with you. Only your consciousness, only your witnessing. And that witnessing is the essence of all religions, or all paths. Whatever part it is that awareness, that witnessing, that is the essence, that can watch it. Then you definitely, you are not dry and you are not anti. This watching feels stiff and dry, forced. Yes, because that watching hasn't happened. It hasn't happened yet. I'm just hinting at it, because in the beginning, of course, that's the mind that has to watch. What I'm meaning with the watcher is that you are rooted in your own witness, which is beyond the mind. In that space, it doesn't matter if you dance, or if you sit in Vipassana, or if you drive a car, or if you sing, or if you make even bean soup. Whatever you do it beautifully. You are present. That is witnessing. It goes into everything. Because you are, in reality, the witness, which is beyond the physical, the body, the mental, the emotional. And the miracle of miracles, when you have realized that, then your emotional body, your mental body, your physical body, everything starts falling in tune. Because they are ruled from the master, from your essence. As it is now, you are just identified with the body. You don't have control over your mind. You don't have control over your emotion. You are definitely not in touch with your essence. Then it's all messy. Because you're functioning at the lowest. So when all this, which is the whole transformation, the whole growth, what they call enlightenment, then everything is turned upside down like it should. In fact, you are upside down. You are put in the right way. Then everything functions from that clarity. And from that clarity, whatever is needed, do you need to be in the kindergarten at the time? You come to the kindergarten at the time because you don't want to create any fuss. You follow. Is nobody there, you just function totally conscious. And it's totally effortless. And it's not stiff and dry or forced. That is the yogi part. You're trying to do something that is not natural for you. So then much better to stick with dancing and singing, and that the silence comes from there. But remember that this silence, this awareness, this witnessing is the most important to get in touch with. There's many different levels. Like I many times told you, always first when people come, I make them alive. I make them sing, dance, cry, laugh, connect. They become very happy, very alive, because they've been repressed. No, after this, no, it's much more easy to go into meditation, because your life force is already very alive, happy. When you are happy, it's very easy to take you in, because it's nice. You want to get, to know yourself. You feel happy. But deeper than that, the deeper and deeper the meditation goes, the meditation is to take you beyond yourself, your ego. If that happens or not, nobody knows, but that is what I'm talking about, that is what Buddha talks about. And it's definitely not against any singing or dancing, in my vision. Yes, I've been with Buddhists, I've been with Tibetans in the Himalayas, and they're beautiful people, but I wanted to shake them. God, did I want to shake them. And get them to dance. And the frustration with the So for me, everything should be included. Don't be stuck in one. Yeah, you have one mind part. It's very important because that feels natural for you. And that's very important because you should only do things that feels that you get results, that is natural for you. But always go deeper. I don't want you to force anything, no. And maybe also your body, you had also problems with your body, your physical body, no? So maybe that is also something that is painful to sit or something. You know, all these things you have to take into consideration. I just want to present, it's like a smorgasbord. No? I want you to taste many different things. And then somebody, wow! That was really good. Oh, then your friend said, oh, I didn't like that at all. This is how it is. You have to trust yourself. Till one day you go beyond all parts because you are home. There is nowhere to go. You're just spontaneous. They have a word for that in India also. It's a spontaneous yoga. Sahaja. You're just in your natural state. Innocent, free. Then is nothing to do then. All parts, whatever parts, that has to lead somewhere. That means you are missing something, which is very needed because you are missing something. So it's good to find out what part, what meditation gives results for you, which feels natural. And many of you have been in different traditions before. So it feels like as soon as you are in a meditation, you feel, wow, this is really good. This remembrance in your unconsciousness. Or maybe I just say something and, wow, yes, it hits home. This is very individual. I experience that I'm falling into my heart very easy, just being in life, in nature, tickling my son and hearing his laugh, just eating good chocolate. Yes. But I just remind you, and Buddha reminds you, and all the masters remind you, there is something beyond that also. There is something beyond. And that is just way beyond eating chocolate. In fact, you forget chocolate. You even forget your child. So as long as you are attached to chocolate or children or whatever it is, it's very difficult. Because you're gone. There's a bliss factory. What was that? The chocolate factory, what was that? The chocolate factory, Johnny Depp, no, he was that. Willy Wonka, no? Pa! That is the ultimate for a child, no? Willy Wonka's factory. Chocolate factory, no? Pa! My God! Rivers of chocolate. Wapa! But how much chocolate can you eat? You get nausea, you get sick. So the Buddha say, wake up, go beyond that. Go beyond the physical, no? Your taste, your wanting from the eyes, your attachments to the physical, your identity. That's what they had. There's nothing wrong with chocolate. But I just say, much more. Pah! Maybe I'm misunderstanding this witnessing. Yes, everything will be misunderstood till it happens. It's always like that. But to distance myself from these feelings and waves of love and this joy does not feel right. Again, I never said you should distance yourself from anything. Again, that is just what I call a yogi trip, no? Like the couple, that one guy is like, the man is totally in the yoga trip. Oh, I have to meditate, it's 4 o'clock. Then the wife comes home. Hi, honey, I'm home. I'm not for that. Be spontaneous. So what? Just say, hi, honey, forget your meditation. Your woman can be your meditation. Anything can be your meditation. It's just to be in the moment, spontaneous. But this is where this comes from. But this distance myself from these feelings and waves of love and joy does not feel right. No, it doesn't feel. Be one with it. So play with this meditation, but if it's not for you, then you know that. But one day, sooner or later, it will be, because there's no difference. How could it be? Because silence is your very core. Your very core. And when you hit that space, when that is ignited, in fact, sitting becomes better than anything. Because by nature, you are lazy. I have accepted it. But I have horses, and Yamuna asks, where does they go? They are mostly there because they get food. No, then they just everything is provided. If they are wild, then they had to run around looking for food all the time. Life is hard. Now they are spoiled, just like us. You can just sit there and go out there. Nom, 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 nom. So, only if you get more and more conscious, then you will enjoy it. Wow! I've been struggling for lifetimes. I've been in wars, I've been poor, I've been suffering. No, I can just have everything. Yes, because this is an opportunity for you to go deeper, to go beyond. everything is provided for. That's what I want. I want everything provided so you can just go deeper. So, without consciousness, you will just sit there and eat potato chips and chocolate and still be happy because you have it and it's good. Like a couch potato, yeah, that's called. No? Then you enjoy, like many people, they say, we have a great life. World Cup is soon coming and we have a big stack of potato chips and beer. We are happy. They have no idea. And they most probably will never have any idea about true bliss of consciousness. Of really nectar. So this comes by itself. Nobody can force it on you. And it will be misunderstood because you can only understand things that you have seen, you have tasted, you have realized. But I tell you, Buddha is not a serious guy, and he, vipassana should not be dry and stiff and forced. That's also why I created this little meditation for you. May it start it today? Because if you get so stiff and dry, you know, then feel your body, but more in a meditative way. Because it's so easy for you also to go into your habit, your identity. Oh, suddenly you are the yoga master, suddenly you are the ballet dancer. Oh, and come and stretch on me. Oh, look how I stretch. Whoa, whoa, wow. I'm so good at stretching. Wah, pa, pa. No, that's not how I want you. Just feel. Be sensitive to your body. That's why I say, keep your eyes closed. Have blindfold. Feel your body. Where is the tension? What does your body want to do? You have to start listening, sensing it, feeling it, being more and more sensitive. Then maybe you will be surprised. What kind of posture, what kind of breath, what kind of release. And you can release so much with your awareness, if you are conscious, much more than a whole wapapai yoga session or something, because you go where you need it with your awareness. It's more deeper than the physical. But you have to be present, you have to feel. And then everybody, if you come to that place in yourself, then you can feel, where is it that I'm holding? Where is that part of my body? What does it want to do? How does it want to move? What does it tell me? You have to learn to listen to it. Up till now, you've just been using it. Using it like a machine is a very, very sensitive instrument. But you have to listen. You have to be present. That is watchfulness, awareness, witnessing. Then it will tell you. Definitely not forced or dry. No, it's effortless. But from your awareness, is it still the path of devotion I'm on? Yes. And how to follow the path of devotion totally in the modern society? Not difficult at all. So where's your heart, Malika? Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where you have a heart? It's here with you? Yeah, it's there, boom, boom. And deeper than that, that is where the heart is. That is where your devotion is. So that will be with you in society, no? Everywhere you walk, that heart will be there. And that is what the society needs. They need to see hearts, no? So if you have a heart, don't be afraid to show it. Very few people have hearts. They have hearts, but it is asleep, no? Like you have seen also, you had sleeping hearts, they waking up. Hearts waking up give very happy. So this heart is everywhere and is always with you. The part of devotion is that whatever has ignited that love, that devotion, that truth, which is the whole thing with the guru and master, you with God, you keep that in your heart. Your heart, which has felt this beautiful expansion, explosion, bliss, consciousness, that is connected with your master, with your guru, with love, whatever it is. If you are always connected, if your heart is always connected, devoted to that, which has triggered that realization in you, then you will always be safe. Feel the presence of that, that you're always connected more than yourself, because you are tricky. You again and again get messed up. That is devotion. You always remember you are devoted to that. That's why they have always, for thousands of years, burnt incense. Before they had pictures, they maybe just had a footprint of the master. They bowed down every day. Maybe they had a thing that reminded them of the master, of the guru. They kept that in their heart. So in a way, as lovers, as Rumi says, on the path of love, of devotion, you are always there. If you really love, you are always connected. There is no distance on that path. Maybe forget, but you can come back, and that is the whole remembrance, to come back to your heart, to where that connection is, where that devotion is. So that was the path. So I like to remind the women to find their own worth, their own strength, their own awareness, very important. And the man, I make to get more and more touch with the heart, to soften, to become sensitive. No? Both is needed. But this is in general, you have these two parts, it's, even though it's many other parts. The yin and the yang, male and the female, the masculine, the feminine. The will, which is of the mind, willpower, and the heart, the love. And nothing is wrong with the mind if you're not driven by the mind. Let the mind be ruled from the heart, which is deeper, which is wise, and deeper than that, from the beyond, then everything functions how it should be. Then the master has come back to rule instead of being a slave. Anyway, I will play you a song, Malika, since you are like that. We are like that. Paul. Where is Hannah? At home? With the googly googly? Yep. You give her my love, no? I got beautiful letter for her, from her, no? Tell her I'm waiting for her. When are the three of you coming to Brazil for holiday? For kindergarten and all that. What better kindergarten than the praia? Huh? The beach? Huh? I have to be careful. The safest of all, the best of all, just be quiet. Be still. Be quiet. Relax. Be empty. Ah. Chocolate Factory Deluxe. Power. And don't think that Rumi was dancing and spinning around all the time. Nobody could do that. Even Rumi would get nauseating. So he had a few spins, and then he had to teach something to his disciples. Like any good master, he has to keep them occupied. So he came up with this whirling. That kept the disciples busy. But he didn't need any whirling anymore. What did he do? He was sitting. Sitting. No effort. No dryness, just sitting. Much more. Everything comes back to sitting, stillness. Whirling is on the path. Silence is the center, the home. Rumi says, die in this love. If you die in this love, your soul will be renewed. Die. Don't fear the death of that which is known. If you die to the temporal, you will become timeless. Die to all that you think you know. Die to all ideas you have about yourself. Die to the past. And you will become timeless. Die. Cut off those chains that hold you prisoner to the world of attachments. Die. Die to the deathless, and you will be eternal. Die. Come out of this cloud. When you leave the clouds, the fogginess, you will be the full moon. Die. Die to the din and to the noise of the mundane concerns. And these mundane concerns and the noise of your daily life, that's what takes your whole life. What you think is your responsibilities, your attachments. Die, says Rumi, to the noise of these mundane concerns. Wake up in the silence of love. You will find the spark of life. In the silence of love. Beyond the two parts, they become one. Silence, love. Consciousness, ecstasy. They melt, yin and yang. In the silence of love. These two together. That's what I'm trying to share with you. Silence and love. You will find the spark of life. Dear Babaji, this time I didn't manage to stay the whole retreat, but I'm very happy about how much I'm managing to join. I have seen how easily I get more sleepy and unbalanced when I'm in the city working. Now it feels like a new beginning, a new chance to create my life and integrate insights and create balance in this day-to-day life to live more simple. these last retreats, it has come up for me a fear of losing touch with this longing, the longing for freedom, to wake up. I see that when this longing, this fire is getting dim, desires become more attractive and I forget. Then it's more difficult to listen to the heart. I get busier, more blind, more sleepy. And that's why it's so important to be connected. To keep what is valuable, to keep that in your heart, in your mind. And to have something, some meditation, something that reconnects you with that space. That's what you should do when you are in the world. And Buddha said the worst for a seeker, for a disciple, is to be with unconscious people. No? It's hard. Because you are still not strong. So you have to take care of it. Still you get influenced. And if you are only with unconscious people, then sooner or later you will be foggy again. You will forget. You will start listening to your own blabbering and to other people. So, better than to stay aloof, says Buddha. Better than to stay aloof. Don't get so much involved. Have your own little altar, your own apartment, your own place where you can connect. Live in the world, but don't get lost in it. And now I have realized that I might not be able to come to Brazil in April. I really want to come. Yes. Just be connected and work like hell. That's it. I had to go to Norway, to America to work when I was with my master. I know how it is. I did anything and I worked like hell. And then when I had the right stack, Bombay calling. That's how it is. Coming here, I get reminded again of how much I need this. Yes. And that is also typical. You forget. You forget how much you need it. That's how sleepy we get. Then you come, you get reminded. My God. These retreats, these satsangs, this sangha, no, this longing, this fire got awakened again. I want to feed it, make it stronger, let it take over more and more. I need this fire to be alive and vibrant. Forever at your feet in love and gratitude, Badrinath. Yes, Badrinath, let the fire, the longing, will help you, no, to stay connected. Rumi says, be thirsty, my heart. Seek forever, go on without any rest. Be total. Let this soundless longing, this soundless longing, this deep inside your own heart and soul, hidden deep inside you, be the source of every word and action you do and say. Be connected. Be alive. Be fire. Beloved, around you I get so much clarity. Rahi, I hope you can handle it. How is it?
Avara.
That's the problem with coming close to me. You get so much clarity. No, you have to stand up for the clarity you get, no? That's the challenge. My arrogant mind cannot last long with its games. They are shut down very fast. You and your beautiful mirrors burn up all that is untrue. Walking past the bookshelf filled with Osho books prompted me to read one. It was Osho talking on Sosan. He talks about how powerful the words of the enlightened ones are. Atomic, he calls them. Atomic. And I feel that. I feel that here in Satsang. I'm present. If I listen to your words, I would like to listen like I listen to a waterfall, to birdsong, to the wind of the leaves. Then they can enter me with full power. No analyzing, no questioning, just sitting, listening with my heart, not my mind. Such bliss. Yours forever, Rai. That's what I do. Wake up your hearts. Then no path. Just now. Just heart. Just silence. With the man I wake up the hearts, and with the women I wake up the silence, not that. They go together. They say on the path, on devotion of love, then you will come to wisdom. On the path of wisdom, when you come to the end, you come to love. One leads to the other. There is no separation and totality. Only on the way there is differences. Only on the journey, then you think is different, is two or many. In reality, it's not. They balance each other. Silence and love. Dance and stillness. Oh,
Hey, and tanga tenga te paranga te.
Bodhisattva.